Let's just sit there, won't you? Good morning. How many of you have ever cast lots? You might know what that is. How many of you have ever flipped a coin? Right, so sort of flipping a coin, it's a little more complicated than that. Depends on what you use for the lots. Sometimes you'd have sort of like what's a dice, and you'd throw multiple things down, and there'd be a way to interpret them. And then that's how a lot of decisions were made in different societies at different times. And we hear about this in this particular scripture when they're replacing Judas. So the 12 want to be the 12, and so they've got one going. So they have Justus and Matthias who are there, and they decide to cast lots. So what do you think is going through Justus' mind after this happens? Does he go home and say, well, I was almost an apostle? This is Justus, also known as this, also known as this, the almost apostle. I mean, what's his resume look like after this? You know, I think there's a challenge. I'd like to know more about the story. But there's another part when earlier it says there were those of us who are with us from the beginning, and we want to name one of them to this particular place. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many decisions I'm willing to make in my life by throwing something down and reading how it falls. But I do have a time in my life when I did something that was sort of like that. I grew up in El Dorado, Kansas, and if you've ever been through El Dorado, you'll know they have a large refinery that it often smells. People there sometimes called it Smell Dorado. We had two refineries when I was growing up, and so there's lots of oil, and we're kind of right out in the middle of nowhere, and you're close to sort of prairie. You're close to the edge of the Flint Hills, and so when I was a teenager and not long after I got my driver's license, I had a group of friends that I hung around with, Matt and Troy and Michael and Doug and a couple others. And sometimes we would have these, what I referred to as my endless Saturdays. It would be a particular weekend that would happen when there was no work, there was no school activity, there was no homework. And it was just a day that was sort of free. And I never listened to my parents' wisdom talking about how free that was, but this will give you an example of it. There wasn't a whole lot to do in El Dorado, a town of about 12,000 people, that you hadn't already done 100 times. And so we headed out in one of our cars, and we decided that at every intersection we would flip a coin, and it would decide which way we would go. And we quickly discovered that flipping one coin wasn't really sufficient because you had three options. You could go left, right, or straight. So if you only have two sides of the coin, you didn't do it. So we got three coins out, and we devised a system. Okay, so a couple of these guys went on to be engineers. So we devised a system that determined which way we would go. And this is how we spent an entire Saturday. It was problematic when you needed to use the restroom because you're off and out, and you had to, do we break the rules? Do we drive somewhere? And this is before GPS and like that. So we're out venturing around, going left sometimes, going straight, going right, sometimes going in big sort of square circles around crops and always making left turns or always making right turns. And suddenly we find ourselves near a place that's completely abandoned. It was an old town. The only thing that's really left is a big building that has U.S. Post Office insignia still on it. It's not big like the buildings we have now, but like a 20-foot by 20-foot building that was clearly part of the main thoroughfare of this community. And then there's a whole lot of foundations and buildings that had fallen over. So we get out, we begin exploring, and we find all kinds of fun stuff. We find square nails, and we find interesting little trinkets. One of the guys finds a couple of coins. We find some leaded glass, different things that were part of the electrical system at one point. You find all kinds of really kind of interesting treasures in it. And we begin to kind of find newspaper clippings and other things in these sort of abandoned homes and abandoned businesses and fallen over foundations and all this kind of stuff. It would lead several of us to begin a research project on what was Meridian, Kansas. This is the town that it was, and we began to discover all kinds of things about it. For instance, when the oil boom happened, it happened to be one of the largest communities in Kansas. It had a population of over somewhere between 40 and 50,000 people. It was larger at one time than El Dorado, which El Dorado was at one time larger than Wichita before the railroads had come up. And it had a great future ahead of it, but something happened and it all fell apart. And now all that was left was some foundations and a post office. We would dig further into it. We'd find out little trinkets of history. Wyatt Earp had been said to pass through there on his when he was heading west. There was stories of all kinds of different things that had happened and oil companies and controversies. But something along the way, as the oil was sort of, as the work that was around the oil businesses were finished, the wells were dug, the community fell apart and eventually fell completely into disarray. And we stumbled on that by chance, and it sort of led to something. But is that really a way to go about life? It was interesting. It was always sitting out there. We could have gone out there any time. We could have looked it up and found it, things like that. But it was just sort of by chance that we discovered this new thing. So we have in the story the choosing of Matthias, the one to join the disciples. But I think it's not as much chance as it is a little bit of faith and also being called into ministry. You see, a lot of us probably leave more up to chance in our life than we really realize. We're not intentional about our faith life. We're not intentional about our walk, or we don't do that. We might be throwing the dice, so to speak, or throwing lots more often than we would imagine. And that might lead us in different ways, and we might find new adventures, and we might discover things. But I think as we discover more about what God is saying in the scriptures for today, there's also a part in which we're called to be intentional about our faith walk. In the gospel, we have Jesus preparing his disciples for the next part of the story. Jesus has died, Jesus has risen from the dead, he's ascended into heaven, or preparing to ascend, and he's praying that the Holy Spirit might be sent to guide the church, to guide the people into new truth and into new ways of being. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Forrest Gump? Anybody, right? I love that movie. It's all about chance, isn't it? It's all about sort of things that just sort of happen to Forrest. But that's not really what I think we're really called to as disciples. Justice and Matthias got to that particular point, not by chance, but by choosing to follow Christ. And it doesn't really matter which one was chosen, they both were worthy. That's more the point of the story. In that particular moment, Matthias was the one that's named in the scriptures to take Judas's place. And part of it is it's an invitation to us to also take our place in the great story, to take our place as disciples. What happens when we're intentional about our faith walk? What happens when we're intentional about our prayer life, or when we open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit? What happens when we're willing and able to receive the guidance of God in our lives through careful discernment? I think sometimes that's a hard question for us, but it's one that bears even more fruit than just living our life by chance or by casting lots. It means that when we open ourselves up to that, we might be guided into all new ways of doing things in our life. I know when I pay attention to my prayer life, or when I pay attention to the work of God in my life is deepened, and new possibilities sometimes come that I hadn't even thought of. I think that when we open ourselves up to the movement of the Holy Spirit, we can be called into new ministry and new ways of being. So maybe the question is, as you go about your spiritual life this week, is to think about how intentional you are about your discipleship, about how intentional you are about your relationship with God and what it means to be a disciple in your own life. All of us have gifts that we're given. All of us are given the ability to care for others, to reach out, to share our resources, to teach, to do all the different works and all the different things that we can do to use our gifts. But are we just going about it randomly? Are we just flipping a coin at every intersection and hoping we might find something? Or are we really working and being open to the Holy Spirit? Next week, we'll celebrate Pentecost. It's always a great, fun time. It's the birthday of the church, so to speak. And in the scriptures, we find that the apostles begin to write the world in some ways by they go out and they can speak and people understand them in new ways. And there's great energy and fervency and ministry begins. And we don't think about it, but some of the extension of that is a lot of the things around us are extensions of that very day. And so maybe it's worth spending some time thinking about what kind of ministry God is calling you into. And many of you know we got an email earlier in the week. Father Ben Varnum, who's been on our staff for the last 4 years or so, has received a call to serve at St. Augustine's of Canterbury in Elkhorn, Nebraska. And so if you haven't heard that, you're hearing it now. He's excited. Just so you know, he did not ascend to heaven. He has not disappeared. He's at his brother's graduation this weekend, and he'll be back and with us for a couple more months as we begin to say goodbye to him and wish him farewell. But much of what he's going through is intentional discernment, which he's been in for a long time, about his next call. And we knew when he was called and when he took his place among us on the staff that someday a call would come and he would be moved by the Holy Spirit into a new place and a new adventure. Doesn't mean it isn't bitter for us to see him go, but at the same time, it's great joy for him as another community opens their arms and that he is called to lead them, just as Matthias and Justice in the scriptures today were chosen in some way to go about their particular ministries, just as we are chosen and called to go about our ministries. So it might be to ask God's Holy Spirit to move in us, to call us to ministry, and to call us to something deeper, to continue our discipleship and our relationship with others. Amen.